News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you, by the way, if you probably heard the ads, but my friends at ZLA Solutions, they're one of our team members. ZLA Solutions is good at what they do. I mean, literally, they put people back to work left and right. So all that to say, if you are looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. If you are an employer looking to get more people for your workforce, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. And all these things they can do for you, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions is one of the best around right now at taking care of things that people need to get back to work or that businesses need to put people to work. They are there for you. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better. So ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. Copper, I'm not sure that caller has got anything related to what I've been talking about. So if you would check with him and see if it ties into the topics that we're discussing right now, because I've got to go back to this situation right now about pain at the pump. And I'm gonna finish up a little bit of that right now. So the bottom line is this. The Alabama Policy Institute, where I work, we came out hard on this gas tax issue back in 2019 when they were looking at raising it. And I'm quoted in this article that I've got right here from AL.com, me personally, back in 2019, as saying that, you know, we know that roads and bridges cost money. Of course they do. But did you know that before they raised your gas taxes, that they did not make any reforms at all? What kind of reforms, pray tell, Phil? What would you be saying? Well, what I'm saying is this. They had an existing road and bridge fund, still do, it's still there, but the road and bridge fund, $60 million of it every year was going to things that did not relate to roads and bridges, like paying for state troopers, paying for the court system, both of which are great things, we have to have them. But if you're going to say you don't have enough money for something, stop using up the money you've got for things that don't relate to the something you need the money for. I'm not sure I could say that twice, but anyway, the bottom line is this. They did not choose to make any changes. They told you they didn't have enough money. Turns out they were really spending the money they had on unrelated things, and they raised your taxes. They went in there, bam, they threw that thing down, did a special session, told all those freshman legislators, get online, and they passed it. And you're now paying 10 cents more per gallon than you would be if it weren't for them having done that. They also, by the way, I will say this, anytime the legislature enacts something, it can unact something, it just to use the slang vernacular. But the bottom line is this. They can fix this right now if they wanted to. They could rescind it. They could totally repeal it. They could rebate it. They could freeze it. Or for that matter, they could just give you a sales tax holiday. You know, just last month, December, Governor DeSantis down in Florida proposed a 25 cents a gallon sales tax holiday for his citizens, and that was before we saw prices escalating at current rates. What he was basically saying was, we have the power to do this, people. We're the ones who put it there. We can stop it. We can say we won't collect it for a period of time. And yet they won't do it. Tim James right now just came out with a new ad story here on Yellowhammer just last week. Tuesday of last week, Republican gubernatorial hopeful Tim James released his campaign's fourth television ad. The ad is titled Death and Taxes. It says that Ben Franklin said only two things are certain in life, death and taxes. He said now, thanks to Kay Ivey, there's a third, death taxes and Kay Ivey's gas tax increase that goes up automatically without a vote forever. I double-checked on this before I came on the air. That's correct. Every 2 years, first of all, they put a quick escalating scale in to get 10 cents extra on your gallon in the short term. It's already there, 10 cents. And then every 2 years, it can go up another penny. It just keeps on going up, keeps on going up. They never have to vote on it again. I mean, it could just keep on going up. And as the cost of construction materials goes up, it keeps on going up. That's unbelievable. And that was just an awful way of doing things. So don't tell me it's not political, because there it is. Copper, I guess you're telling me that the topic is from a few weeks ago. I'll go ahead and take the call, but this is not what we're working on right now. But let me just go ahead and respect the fact that he's holding on the line. So I'll take line one, Greg from somewhere in North Alabama. Hey, Greg, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good, sir. I'll try and make this as quick as I can. You were, a few weeks ago, we're talking about the Convention of States. Is that right?
No, I think somebody called in and was talking about it. I've never made that a topic of the show, but it may have been like a caller called in, yeah.
Well, you were just giving out the pros and cons of it. And, I listen to Mark Levin every night, and, I mean, he is hell-bent to get 36 states in on it. And I just want, because you said something about if they did have the convention, that, they could go in and change a lot of our rights right then. And I just wonder if Phil is related, knows about all that.
If Mark Levin knows about all that, you mean?
Yes, because he's the one that's pushing for all this.
Yeah, and Mark Levin obviously is a smart guy, and so just to back up Greg, and I won't spend too much time because I've got another topic that I'm actually working on right now. But the Convention of States, for those who are not aware, there are certain aspects of government that require an amendment to the Constitution through the legislative process to get something done. That's why you have the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all those amendments to the Bill of Rights. The other means that the Constitution allows is if there is a convention of states, which requires 36 of our 50 states to sign on to a required convention of the states to consider the state legislatures making changes to our U.S. Constitution. Here's the problem that I foresee, and it's the one that doesn't often get talked about. Is that you have to have what's called a limited scope convention of states. You have to have a limited agenda for that particular convention. And if you're not careful, what you do is you wind up opening Pandora's box. And every liberal interest in the world is out there licking their chops right now, loving the idea of getting in there and saying, I'm sorry, you opened Pandora's box, so we're here right now to kill the Second Amendment. Or we're here right now to curtail the First Amendment. When all you really wanted to do was get in there and talk about putting a balanced budget amendment on the Constitution or something like that. So the issue you got is, legally speaking, scholars differ. Some scholars say, no, you can set up a limited, effect convention of states. Others, though, say, no, there's nothing in the Constitution about that. If you open Pandora's box, you may get all of it. And so we got to be careful of that, too. Greg, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. Mark Levin, smart guy, obviously. I am just concerned still that we would literally open Pandora's box to have a convention of states. All right, let me go back to the topic I was actually on. So finishing up this thing about pain at the pump. So here's the deal. Things are happening right now that boggle my mind. So I'm telling you right now that you pay a lot of taxes, and I said a moment ago before that last caller that you can request, because going down there saying, I demand you do something is never the way to get anything done. But if you had an opportunity to contact your state legislator and say, listen, man, y'all put this new tax in, could you freeze it for a while? Could you give us a sales tax, gas tax holiday? You could. They can. They can do that. And they're in session right now. If they wanted to, they could. They're paying the same amount at the pump as you. They know the pain, and they're part of the pain. Well, this interesting story is on Fortune magazine, dated this is actually 30 days ago, before things really got bad. Gas prices. Congress is considering a move that would lower gas prices by nearly 20 cents. So I told you earlier that 18.4 cents on the gallon is a federal gas tax. There are Democrat senators calling for a suspension of the federal gas tax. And they're doing it, though, for political purposes, because some believe that it would help them in the midterms to be friendly towards you. Even Governor Gavin Newsom, the tax-happy, regulation-happy governor of the leftmost state out in California, is saying that he wouldn't mind doing something at the state level. Missouri is thinking about something. The interesting piece is they left Florida completely out, which is Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. All I'm saying is, when I'm telling you this is possible, other states and even congressional members are thinking about doing this. It tells you it's possible. They can do it if they want to. Meanwhile, just so you know, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has finally said, yes, the administration is considering stopping buying Russian oil, is considering stopping the import of Russian oil. Well, hallelujah. Have we just hit a new day? I mean, has the sun begun to shine finally? Yeah, there's a caveat to this. They're considering how to do this. Quote, we are now in very active discussions with our European partners about banning the import of Russian countries, while of course at the same time maintaining a steady global supply of oil, meaning, yeah, we can't just like cut off. We gotta find a replacement. Never mind that we have the replacement. We didn't need them a year ago. Now we do. Which means that it appears that we could flip the switch on some things and probably get ourselves in short order back in a good position. But right now, what they're looking at doing instead is a story that I've got right here from the Wall Street Journal dated 2 days ago. Yesterday, actually. Wall Street Journal reporting that U.S. officials are meeting with the regime in Venezuela. Venezuela! In Venezuela to discuss oil exports to replace Russia's. So literally, Venezuela right now, which is still feeling the effects of Trump sanctions, suddenly, despite the fact the Trump administration turned the economic screws on Venezuela back in 2017 and leveled sanctions against their oil sector, Caracas then moved, by the way, Caracas, Venezuela, the Venezuelan Maduro government moved itself towards China, Russia, and Iran as its customers, and now is producing somewhere around 300,000 barrels a day. We import 670,000 a day from Russia, but 300,000 a day could be available down there in Venezuela. And they're trying to sort of peel Caracas out of the political orbit of Russia anyway. All that to say, yeah, now we're talking to the same people that we said just a couple years ago we shouldn't be talking to because they're bad actors. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We're going to start running our way into the next section of the Triple Dipper. Ukraine, what now, what next? I just had a guy on Twitter that we connected about something he sent me that I think I'm going to have him call in here at top of the hour. But yeah, Ukraine, what now, what next? It's getting thicker. All right, we'll give you some updates on that and talk about some things that are pretty interesting about how this is going down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, Copper, I didn't put it on the board. I just realized I'd like to get an audio clip ready and maybe do it here in the next minute or two. See if you can get clip one ready for me, please, and just put it on the board if you get it, okay? Yeah, so clip one is General Jack Keane, who is giving some analysis on where we stand right now. So some things that you might want to know. Number one is you may have been hearing about humanitarian corridors. What does that even mean? All right, so humanitarian corridors, what they're looking at is it is not uncommon in a time of war for the two forces to determine among themselves, even though they're in opposition to each other and fighting it out on the field of battle, that there's a lot of innocent civilians in the way. Let's do what we can to get them moving and get them out of the way and give them safe passage. Now, that is supposed to be happening. That is not happening. So these, you keep hearing about Russia and Ukraine having discussions. What's there to discuss? You'd think, okay, discussion point number one, get out of our country. Quit bombing everything. Well, one of the things they have been discussing is how best to expedite the flow of refugees, of which we have 1.7 million, according to the Red Cross, that have apparently fled the country. So 1.7 are mostly fleeing west, and these corridors out of some of the easternmost portions of the country were supposed to be allowed for the opportunity for them to get out, you know, unimpeded. Not happening. The Russians have said they would and then bombed them anyway. And you're seeing busloads of refugees that are being blown up on the roads. That's one thing that's happening. Now, another thing that's happening is that we do appear to have an inefficiency, if you will, in the means by which the Russians are executing their campaign. So right now, if they had any success, it's going to wind up being in the south. But then they already had the Crimean Peninsula. They had a safe haven from which to operate. And they're coming in from the sea also, the Black Sea. So right now they are working their way trying to take to fully take Mariupol, which is kind of to the northeast side of the Crimean Peninsula. They're trying to get over to Odessa, which is on the northwest side of the Crimean Peninsula. They've taken one city, but now we're even hearing they've not occupied the city. They just basically neutralized it. I don't know for a fact. I liken that to what we called our island hopping campaign in World War II. The idea that we didn't have to occupy every island, we just had to isolate them and cut them off. So that appears to be, if anything, what is happening. Although I don't think they have the troops to be able to handle full occupation of these large metro urban areas. But General Jack Keane's got some very sharp perspective. Copper, I see you're good for that. So let's do this. Let me, without further ado, keep this going. We're in number two on the Triple Dipper, Ukraine. What now? What next? General Jack Keane has some perspective. Go ahead and play it, Copper.
Let's bring in Fox senior strategic analyst, retired General Jack Keane. General, let's just start with your thoughts on where we stand. What is it now, day 11, moving into day 12 of this war? Your overview.
Well, we're 12 days into this, and certainly in the Russians' mind, they thought this was going to take 2 to 3 days, and the Ukrainians would pretty much lay down and not fight. And they only committed about a third of the forces that they had deployed into the area in the vicinity of Ukraine. So we're 12 days in now, and they really haven't taken a major city, Steve. Ukrainian aircraft are still flying, and that absolutely stuns me, that the Russians have not been able to gain air superiority and take the Ukrainian aircraft down and also some of their defense systems. Their cyber attack, which is an instrument of national power that the Russians are very good at, and we assess they're good at it, has had negligible effect on this campaign. Uh-huh. And their casualties, Steve, are way higher than anybody's expectations here, and I think they're being very deceptive about it. They've had some success in the southern campaign because they want to deny Ukraine's access to the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov, but still, they have a long way to go in that campaign. And the northern campaign, as we all know, which is about Kyiv and Kharkiv, that has stalled, and they have tried to restart it a number of times, and they have not made any consequential progress. What they intend to do is go west and east of Kyiv, encircle the city, hammer it, and force a capitulation of the government. Either they surrender or they kill or capture them. They're not even...
All right, what he was trying to say there was they're not even close to being there. So the idea that they can take Kyiv, the capital of the country, he's saying that right now they are not even able to do that at this point. And the weird thing is we still have that, they keep calling it the 40-mile-long convoy. I'm not sure how long it really is. It's long. But it's sitting there, which is you look at it and it's like it's a target-rich environment right now for any airstrike. And we are hearing, by the way, that some airstrikes have taken place on that convoy. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if the Ukrainians can get themselves together, I would guarantee you they can take down the majority of that convoy. Cut that convoy into sections and then block their ability to be able to move forward and then destroy everything in between. And it's going to get ugly. But right now, that convoy is still sitting and is becoming more and more of a target every day. We'll see how this plans out. Hey, I got a caller calling in this a minute. I think this is going to be interesting. Just got hold of a Quinnipiac poll about how people feel about the issues in Ukraine. We'll cover down on that with a friend of mine, Christopher Reed, and see what we can pull out of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Ukraine, what now? What next? We'll talk more in a minute.